Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Well, you already knew that. And we're talking about partnership and what it means to join together in, and when we were talking yesterday from, and let's go back there right now to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship. Luke 5, 7, it's translated partnership, the same word. Now, the British used that. The King James, of course, is Old English. And a fellowship. We come together in a fellowship. In other words, we're in partners here. Mm-hmm. And we can do together what neither one of us could do by ourselves.
That's right.
That we're partners. We're together in this. And so, you come down then, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet or right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, in the defense, and in the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. Now, we won't turn there, but I'll remind you of what Jesus said in the last chapter. Well, yeah, I will turn it. Okay. I just got corrected. Mark, last chapter. And Jesus was not all that very happy when he said this. He rebuked them. 16th chapter of the book of Mark. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with. Now, notice, them is in italics. They put it in, we can take it out.
Yes, we can. Mm-hmm.
Working with and confirming the word. Confirming the word with signs
following. Yes, sir.
Following. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
With signs following. So, you are partakers of my anointing.
Yes.
Jesus anointed his 12.
Yes, he did.
Then in the great Jordan Valley campaign, what was it, 70 more?
That's right. 72 at one point.
Yeah.
He sent them out two by two.
Yeah.
On purpose.
On purpose.
Let me show you.
You go ahead.
Revelation, take you to one. I'll show you the same thing. This, we said it last week, that the covenants are like a skeleton or the bones that all of redemption hangs on, that it's all built,
yes,
upon that. And this thing started with, it's not good for man to be alone. I need to make a help me, a partner for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the way here in the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion. The literal translation says your brother and partner.
Praise God.
right there in the book of John. He's given you this revelation. I'm your partner, and I'm giving you the revelation of Jesus Christ and the things that are to come. The book of Revelation is really nothing more than all the prophecies of the First Testament put in order and the way they're going to be fulfilled. That's really all it is. And second,
yeah, because you take Ezekiel, you take Daniel, you take
they're all there,
and certain things out of Isaiah. I mean, it's all there.
It's all there. This is another whole subject, but they're mirror images of each other. The way the earth starts and the way the thing ends, it's like looking in a mirror. You know how things are backwards.
Sure.
You go the first six chapters of Genesis. The last six chapters or so of Revelation, they're mirror images of each other.
Isn't that amazing?
He's restoring this whole thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you got a very interesting thing that I want you to see this. We have sent them, verse 22, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 22, we have sent them with our brother, whom we've oft times proved diligent in many things, but now more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Listen to this, verse 23. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner.
Glory to God.
There it is. And so in all of this, every ministry had a partnership and they shared in the anointing. Mm-hmm. All right. So looking at that, let's follow the model of Jesus and what he said. Mark chapter 6. In Mark's gospel, the 6th chapter, and verse number 7. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth two by two, and gave them the power, and what? Gave them what? He gave them, I just lost my place here.
Power over unclean spirits.
Over unclean spirits. He anointed them with his anointing to go out. And that's what the power of partnership is. It's more than just a spiritual covering. It's the anointing. I can partake in the prophet's anointing because I'm a partner with you. Luke also records that he sent out a large group of 72 of his followers, two by twos, in Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed over 70 also and sent them out two by two from his face to every city and place whither he would come. So before he went there, he sent these people out to go in front of him. And so we see this happening over and over
Rick,
and over.
You reminded me of something.
Yeah.
Luke chapter 8.
Okay.
I'll wait till you get there.
Yes.
Now, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance.
That's it. That's his partners.
His partners went with him on those meetings. Now, verse 8, other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He shouted it.
Yes, he did.
That's the reason we get loud. That's the reason preachers get loud today. To make a point. I mean, he shouted it with a loud voice. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is a preacher.
Yes, he was.
Yes, amen.
And a teacher. Yes. He walked in all fivefold ministry gifts.
Yes, he did.
In one body. So now, why would he do that? I've said this before on here. Jesus, everything he did, he didn't do it by happenstance. He was directed by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He didn't come to change the law or end the law. He came to fulfill it. Everything he does is fulfillment of something before. So is there any reason, is there any proof, scriptural proof, of him anointing two by twos to go out? Is there any? Yes, there is. Yes, you ask. Let me show you. Deuteronomy chapter 19 supports the principle. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. one witness shall not rise up again against a man for any iniquity, for any sin,
yes,
in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses.
Two witnesses.
Or at the mouth of three witnesses shall a matter be established. So if you want to establish the anointing, if you want to establish a ministry, you get partners.
Greg, I had a history of not sleeping. When I was a young boy, I didn't sleep. And my mother and dad, of course, would diligently put me to bed at night at 9 o'clock, and I'd lay there till 2 o'clock in the morning. And there, the ceiling paper had little squigglies in it, and I'd lay there and look at those things, and I could see little clouds in them, and then I'm that way today. I see pictures and stuff, and it's kind of irritating because I look at a painting. I don't see the painting. I see these little weird faces. But anyway, it was right today.
Yes.
Sitting next to my bed are sleep scriptures.
Praise God.
Right to that. Now, Gloria's, I mean, when her head touches that pillow, she's gone. I said, God, can I want to do that, please? So I have four of them. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but right before they turn out the light, I go through my sleep scriptures. Here they are, all four of them, out of the Psalms and the Proverbs. And so, and I say, Gloria, you agree with that? Oh, I agree with that, yes. And I said, I do too. So, out of the mouth of four witnesses, let everything be established.
Yes.
And so by faith, I'm sound asleep right now. And by faith, I'm fast asleep. Amen.
Amen.
And I got to where I can sleep like she does, but I have to do it by faith. Amen. And I haven't used an alarm clock in I don't know how many years. So I go to sleep by faith and I get up by faith.
Yes.
And
that alarm clock startled you. No, I'd just rather have the Holy Spirit wake me up.
Yeah.
It's time to get up.
Amen. Go ahead.
So in this deal, here's the mouth of two witnesses. We saw that he sent them out by twos with the anointing on them. So last week we talked about Moses in the battle against the two
of the
darkness,
holding his hands up.
How many were there?
Mm-hmm. Two.
Two. He had two partners holding his hands up. Jesus says this in Matthew 18:20. He says, for where there two or three of you gather in my name, there am I in the midst.
In the midst of them.
So as you and I are sitting here gathered in his name talking, he's right here.
He's right here.
It's God.
Now, if you search that out, those chapters in Matthew were in his home.
Yes.
And he said, again, I say unto you. So he had taught this before. Now, he had a big house. And originally they thought it was probably Peter's house because it was so big. No, it was his house. And it was right just a little above there where you could see the Galilee. A home.
On the lake.
On the lake.
Yes,
thank
it's
you.
Nice.
I have
it's
a
very
home
nice
on the lake.
Right down the street from the synagogue.
Yeah.
It is.
And that, yes, it is. Right there in Capernaum.
Yes. I've been there.
So here's the amazing part of it. That's when he brought a little child up into his arms. So somebody there had their children with him in there. And he taught that. Again, I say unto you, if any two of you or three of you. But now here was whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done, be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. What for? To carry out that agreement.
That's right. That's right. If you look at a picture of heaven, there's these seraphims that are always going around the throne.
Yes.
He's in the middle of that.
He's in the middle of that.
So
yes.
If you look at the Ark of the Covenant sometime, get a picture of it, mm-hmm. and there's two, it's recreated, there's two seraphims that are like this, and the Shekinah glory of God would hover between them when the priest would go in there, and the presence of God. Now, go look at the story, one of the stories in the accounts of Jesus in the tomb. It says, when she looked in, there was an angel. One at the
that
foot
end.
And one at the
one at that
Brother
end.
Brother Copeland, they made the Ark of the Covenant with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ right there.
Right there.
And the Shekinah glory of God came down and hit that body and it quickened it.
Now, and most, most people don't know this because of, well, you can just study a little bit. They learned in Egypt to mummify.
Yes.
And they would wrap each finger and the whole body in this liquid, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And it would form this cocoon looking thing. Now that when Lazarus came up to the tomb, he'd been mummified.
He'd been wrapped, yeah.
He'd been wrapped.
Yeah. Yes.
And they said, loose him and let him go. Yes. There he stood, face covered and all. Now, excuse me. They didn't get the chance to cover his face. That napkin would have gone right there and poured that same liquid on that, and it would have created that whole cocoon-looking thing. So, when they ran into that tomb, they saw the image of his body, and he wasn't in there. And the napkin was laid over to the side.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
What did it say? The grave clothes were there.
Yes.
And the napkin lay on the side. That mummy case looking thing was there empty. And the napkin was laying there. Still sounds right. Anyway. And then the angels on both sides.
They made, that's it. They reproduced in heaven what was in heaven on the earth right there.
The Ark of the Covenant.
And with him laying.
Because we can prove that from the book of Romans.
Yes, you can.
Because the glory raised Jesus from the dead.
Yes.
That same spirit dwell in you. What does it say?
Quickens your mortal body.
Quickens your mortal body for healing.
Think about that slab on that Ark of the Covenant. It's called the mercy seat, the chesed seat.
Yeah.
And then inside there, what was inside there? The priestly rod.
Yes.
The word.
Yes.
Commandments and manna. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Remember all that? He's all of that. When those two angels did that. And so now you go to this verse in Matthew, where two of us together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Brother Cope, when you and I began to proclaim the Lord, we create the Ark of the Covenant. We create the glory of the Ark of the Covenant. This is why partnership is so important. You can't be a lone ranger, especially now. You need a partner with a ministry to create that glory.
Whether it's this ministry or some other ministry.
Yeah.
You need to pray and seek God and find out with whom you are to become a partner.
Yes.
We're not just inviting you to become partners with our ministry. We love you and would love to have you. But that's not the idea. You pray It may be Keith Moore.
And you're fitly joined.
Yeah, it may be Creflo Dollar.
Yes.
It may be Jesse DuPlant. Well, Jesse, no, we all kid Jesse. But I'm very, very serious about this. But you need to be in partnership with, now this was a church at Philippi, and they partnered with him and took care of him even after he left. They continued to sow into his life. He said, you only.
Yeah, because that man, he changed careers from being a jailer who was going to be killed for letting them out to becoming the pastor of that
church.
That's
right.
And so in that, that's his spiritual father. That's where he got fed. And God joined him at that moment. Oh, that's good. God joined him in that earthquake moment to Paul.
Yes, he did.
And he remained loyal to it.
And then he took the man home with him, took both of them home with him, Paul and Silas. And he tended to their wounds.
Yes.
Now what happened?
Oh, my.
You and your whole
house.
Because they partnered with him, then the whole house.
We confess that over our house. We confess that over our children and extended family because of my partnership with you. We confess that over our family. And I use that verse. I use Cornelius and his house.
Oh, yes.
With Peter.
Yes, sir.
There's another one. So we have New Testament scriptural proof that the entire household, that's my inheritance. And I'll say, Lord, that's part of my covenant partnership that I have with who you assigned me to. Mm-hmm. Therefore, my whole house shall be saved, blessed,
I
healed.
Went in. A woman that had written, and so then I called her, and she said, we still lived in Tulsa. She said, I need for you to go down and talk to my dad. Said he's in this living care facility. And she said, I don't know whether he's ever accepted Jesus as his Lord or not. And I got out in the car. And I said, Lord, you said.
Yes.
If you're going to plunder the strong man's house first, bind him.
Mm.
Send laborers into the field. I said, I'm the laborer. And I bind you, Satan. You can't stop him from coming into the kingdom of God. I've given him your word. I've given him God's word. You can't stop it.
That's it.
And he'll think about it, and he'll dream about it, and he can't get away from it. He got back. He was living in upstairs.
Yes, sir.
He got back upstairs, and he said, he told his daughter, he said, I said, you know, I don't know whether I've ever done that or not. Maybe I better do that. So he just got down on his knees and asked the Lord to come into his heart.
Isn't that something?
And then, of course, the first thing he did is call her the next morning and said, that preacher came to see me.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, yeah. He told her what he'd done.
Praise God.
That's amazing. And we're out of time.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.